Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And then Gary, the part of Gary, the coaching DNA. I'll tell you this about Gary when you're playing golf. You know, he may not be good on the front, but if he's within one on the back, he's going to actually win.
Little competitive, is he?
Yeah.
So the DNA part in Gary Williams comes out, and he looks at me and Alan, because we're across from him, and he says, we've got to have a new name. We've got to have it by next Sunday. That's it. Get the name by next Sunday. That was it.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then. Plausibly live from an undisclosed third floor location in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with Chris Saliza and Gary Braun and Michael Kornheiser. Nigel's going to run the board and do the news. Rob Stronach is visiting us today.
Makes well, next Sunday happy. Has come and gone. What's the name?
No. It's next Sunday.
Week from next Sunday.
We have a meeting, or maybe it's Saturday. We have a meeting. Michael, when is that meeting? That's next Saturday or next Sunday?
Saturday at 4 p.m. at a bar restaurant, which I will not reveal on this air.
It's someplace in Virginia. No, it's someplace in Virginia.
Oh, you're going out? Interesting. Yeah, going you're out. Not doing it at the restaurant formerly known as Chad's.
No, we're not. Well, it's currently known as Chad's. Speaking of which, Trivia Night is tonight, 7:30 at Chad's tonight. Corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer in the District of Columbia. Trivia Night tonight. Hope to see you all there. And when I say I hope to see you all there, I don't really mean that because I'm not going to be there. Nah, that's too late for me. 7:30, now too late
for me. I mean, you
me.
Own the place, so you're there in a spiritual sense.
Well, it's far
sense.
Away. I mean, it's close to your house.
You're not
going to
make that
5-minute
commute.
I'll probably stop in tonight, though, because I haven't been there in a few nights. I want to go around the room on watching the All-Star game. I watched one quarter of the All-Star game. One quarter. The score at the end of the quarter was like 50-something to 50-something.
I think 53-49 at the end of
the game. Ended 192 to 182, which means it was not a game. No one will make the case that it was a game on any level. But I watched, and the reason I stopped watching was actually Russell Westbrook. Because Russell Westbrook got in the game and decided, as I knew he would, that he needed to be the MVP of the game. And the first, not the first time, but the second, third, and fourth times he got his hands on the ball, he attempted on alley-oop passes to make dunks where he would jump 13 feet in the air like a Harrier jet and then slam it in, except that none of them went in. Three in a row didn't go in, and I turned to who was ever in the room, which was the dog, and I said, that's it. I'm done. I woke up this morning to find that Anthony Davis had 52 points, breaking Wilt Chamberlain's record. If anybody is old enough to remember Wilt Chamberlain, it's a sacrilege. And Anthony Davis is good. He ain't Wilt Chamberlain. In 31 minutes, Anthony Davis took 39 shots. The only person who would ever approach anything like that for old-time Washingtonians is Elvin Hayes. He would just get the ball and shoot it no matter where he was. 39 shots in 31 minutes. Russell Westbrook had 41 points in 20 minutes. You think he was gunning it? 41 points in 20. This is not basketball. It's not. It's maybe fun to watch. Gary, you said at your house it was fun to watch for some people.
Well, I think I had the reaction probably most people my age would, which wasn't much different from your reaction. First of all, it was not basketball on any level. Interesting to watch for a few minutes. Fun. I mean, a phenomenal display of athleticism.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't think it's programmed to me. I mean, my kids were into it. They loved it because it's a video game. I mean, that's what it basically was. It was watching a video game. It was there was no defense at all. I mean, I think something like 8 or 10 total free throws shot in the whole game. Eight free throws, 4 for each side. There were like no fouls. I don't know how many total blocks there were. I know at halftime, I think there was one blocked shot. I think the
most you just got out of the way. People got out of the way.
Two block shots in the entire game. I mean, there was no defense being played, but it was better than the dunk contest.
I didn't watch the dunk contest or the 3-point shooting contest. I'm out of this. I don't care about it.
But it was just, it was just crazy. It was crazy. I mean, got LeBron James literally on two occasions just pulled up from one step. I'm talking 3 feet beyond half court. Just pulled up and shot a jumper. One he made, of course, swished. And the second one he missed, but it was crazy.
Knowing I was going to be on the show, I went out to dinner.
Okay, so you
didn't know. No, I watched the highlights. I mean, I saw the two off the backboard dunks to Anthony Davis, and I mean, I admire it because as someone who's played basketball marginally competitively my whole life, their capacity to do things on a basketball court is astonishing.
Yeah, they're the best athletes in the world.
But it's not my kids who stayed home loved it. I mean, you know, because it's exactly what they want.
Kevin Durant got a triple-double in 21 minutes.
Messed around and got a triple-double.
It's ridiculous.
I am shocked. Ridiculous. I was shocked to see in the box score, and I watched the entire game, that Anthony Davis actually took 39 shots. Because, well, I mean, he made 26, but it seemed like every single one of them was a dunk.
39 shots.
I remember him pulling
up. In an all-star game in 31 minutes.
The most interesting stat on this game that I would like to see, and I'm just guessing, but I'm in the ballpark. There probably weren't more than 15 two-point jumpers attempted. Everything was either a three-point shot or a dunk. I don't think combined they couldn't have shot 22 pointers, and that's out of 100 something shots taken.
I think Russ's line is more astounding than I know you hate him. I love him. We've established that. He scored 41 points in 20 minutes.
Yeah. In 19 minutes and only 26 shots.
I admire him.
I mean, that's remarkable.
What everybody wanted to see was how Steve Kerr would put minutes together between his players and Russell Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant played a grand total of 82 seconds together, in which time I believe Kevin Durant gave a lob pass
to Russell Westbrook. Yeah.
And he dunked it, and they had some communication afterwards. My own feeling about this is that Steve Kerr, who's a lot smarter than I am, did exactly the right thing. You put them in there long enough to establish that you are willing to play them together, and then you care about them individually enough to get them off the court when each one is on the court. Because Russell Westbrook hates Kevin Durant and hates Steph Curry, hates them both. And Steve Kerr has to coach his players. He doesn't have to care about Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook's team cannot beat Steve Kerr's team. No. So you put him out there for as long as he wants to play and let him do whatever dopey things he wants to do out there and score 41 in 20 minutes, fine. Just don't get in the heads of my players. And I think Kerr was right.
Kerr's players worked down the stretch to ensure that Russell Westbrook did not win the MVP, which early in the fourth quarter you could have argued he will. I mean, Davis is 52, at least 18, maybe 20 of them were in the fourth quarter.
A ton in the fourth quarter.
And they were just feeding him. I mean, he stopped playing defense altogether. He just cherry-picked. He stayed down the offensive end. And they were just throwing him bombs, basically, off misdemeanors.
Can I recommend one piece that you probably won't read, but is worth reading? The Misunderstood Genius of Russell Westbrook. It was the cover of the New York Times Magazine last weekend. Do you know this guy? I don't know him, but I don't know if he's a sports writer. Sam Anderson. Do you know that name?
Don't know.
It's a very interesting piece. It's long.
I know Sam Kinison.
Yeah, me too.
Had he written it, I might have read it.
It's a long piece, but it talks about how Westbrook is hugely creature of habit, very scheduled. It's just interesting given how he plays basketball. It make you like him a little bit more.
It's not that I hate him, and I don't hate him. To me, the anger that he burns with, I believe, is destructive to a team. That's all I'm saying.
He's probably right.
He's the most spectacular player in the league this year, by head and shoulders. I don't think he's the MVP because I don't think his team.
No.
I think James Harden has improved his team, so I think that matters. Anyway,
two interesting things I want to point out about Steve Kerr. One, there was a stretch where he had the four Warrior All-Stars out there with, I think, DeAndre Jordan for a period of time, which was cool. Right, not with Westbrook. And the other thing was they had him wired for sound. I thought this was interesting. A couple times, at a couple different timeouts, they caught him saying once to Anthony Davis, and the other one I think maybe was to Harden, and he was like, give me a good play. What's a play you guys like to run? Tell me a play. And I thought, that's kind of cagey. You know, he's doing it in the spirit of fun, but just sort of saying, like, hey,
show me
one of your guys' favorite plays.
Steve Kerr is smart, and he played his career with Michael Jordan, and then briefly when he left the Bulls, he played with Tim Duncan. Yeah. So he knows what good is.
Yep.
And he knows what good organizations are. And anyway, we talked a lot about Anthony Davis, and we did not mention Boogie Cousins because he only played 3 minutes. And now we know why he only played 3 minutes. Boogie Cousins was traded last night. He will be a free agent not after this season, but after next season, an unrestricted free agent. He's traded to New Orleans. This is within 24 to 48 hours of Boogie Cousins saying, I don't want to leave. I want to stay in Sacramento. I want my jersey to be retired here. And Vlade Divac, the general manager, saying, we are not trading this guy. It's within 24 to 48 hours of both those things happening, proving that both these people are liars, in my judgment.
Well, it doesn't prove that Cousins is a liar, unless he had to approve it.
I don't think he wanted to stay.
I don't think he wanted to stay.
I'm just
I don't think he wanted to stay. I thought that was for PR purposes. Anyway, he will now play with Anthony Davis. I'd like to ask everybody in this room how you think that's going to work, playing with Anthony Davis, two very, very talented big men. And I'd like to propose one other thing, too, and that is that Alvin Gentry is today the coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. But if I own the New Orleans Pelicans and I had Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis, I would ask John Calipari, how much money do you want?
Yep.
Tell me how much money you
want.
I thought
the exact same thing when they got traded.
Then I'd go get a guard like John Wall or somebody else that played at Kentucky, and I would make sure, and I would build a dynasty there. So we'll start with you, Chris. How can they play together?
I think that Davis is obviously a big man, but not really. I mean, I've watched...
he's got games with 50 and 20.
Because I have League Pass, I watch... You know, I mean, I watch a lot of professional basketball, and I've watched games with Davis. Even without Boogie on the team, he plays a lot of facing the basket. He does play with his back to the basket at times, but he really, I think, is more comfortable as like that stretch, you know, the big thing in the NBA now, that stretch four. He wants to take sort of, you know, take a few threes, take a bunch of mid-range. You know, I think that can work because Boogie is much more, at least as he played in Sacramento, much more of a traditional big man. Like, he's not taking a ton of shots outside of 15 feet.
He does take threes.
He does take some threes. I'm just looking at their roster prior to this. I mean,
they
obviously
traded him for a bunch of guards.
They traded him for Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, and Buddy Hield. So, they have...
And a first round and a second round.
They don't have a very good team outside. I mean... They have Drew Holiday. They don't have a great team outside of him. I mean, I think they'll still struggle. Dante Cunningham is a starter for them. I'm interested to see, but I do think it could, to your basic question, I do think it can work because they don't play the exact same position. Boogie is a very traditional center, and I think Anthony Davis, as he evolves, is more of a four.
Here's what I would say, Gary. That Boogie Cousins is, at the moment, the single most uncoachable player other than Rajon Rondo in the NBA. He is uncoachable. He's had 7 or 8 coaches. He has not responded well to any of them since Brendan Malone's kid left. I mean, he just does not. He appears to be utterly uncoachable.
I was going to say, I'd go a step further and say he also appears to be a bit insane. But I think I agree with Chris that they can coexist because, while Davis is a big man, he's not a big body. Some ways, you can look at the minutes Anthony Davis is playing. You can look at the rebounds he's sort of forced to gather based on that existing roster and say that this could perhaps extend him a little bit. It takes a little bit of the pressure off him. He doesn't have to take all of that bang. I mean, he's not, as I said, he's a big man, but he's not the big body of a DeMarcus Cousins. And he's down there. He's getting banged around. He's I don't know if he leads the league in blocks, but he's definitely up there in terms of blocks and defense. I mean, and rebounds. He's playing much more physically, defensively than I think he will need to now with Boogie Cousins. So in some ways, I don't know the status of his contract. I know Boogie has one more year, but maybe it's a move to kind of protect and extend Anthony Davis.
I would try to get Calipari.
I would.
That's a great idea.
I would try to your point, Gary. I think that they were. I believe Davis. I'm looking. I think he has one more year.
He's on a rookie deal,
right? He's making $22 million in 2026. Yeah, he's on a rookie deal. I think part of it too is to try to keep him there because you know it is a very small market, smallest market in the NBA. He is clearly one of the, I would say, 5 best players in the NBA. He's 23 years old. You bring Boogie in, you know, now you're showing a commitment to winning. But I think the only coach...
They can't beat Golden State. They can't beat San Antonio.
But the only coach... The only
but they, coach is, they can't currently be in the playoffs.
Right.
The only coach has shown any capacity to reach him, and it was in 1 year. And they feuded on the sideline is Calipari. Like, I'm not sure anyone can manage him.
He's not coachable.
But Calipari has some basis, has some relationship basis.
It's like Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo is just not coachable.
Can't be coached.
I mean, he's really smart. He's really good. Everybody really likes
him.
Too
smart, too good.
He cannot be coached. He refuses to allow it to happen. So, all right, we will take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Michael Wilbon about these and other issues. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the Blue Apron read. I've seen Blue Apron ads now on television.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen those ads before.
This is the Blue Apron read, though, just to draw the
distinction. Yeah, this is not the television.
Ad.
Right. But I've seen Blue Apron television commercials,
well.
And they
well done.
They show you what it's like. It show you how much fun it is to actually make the stuff.
Accurate depiction, in
I
your
think
opinion?
So. I think so. They show you the big box of all the stuff that you get, and they show you how to make some of it, and they show everybody happy at the end. I was happy. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. It's important to know where your food comes from. Here are the things that Blue Apron gives you. It's affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. There's variety. You choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year. You'll never get bored. That means they have at least 365 recipes, probably 366 if you include leap year. It's flexible. You can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options. You can choose what fits your needs. There's no weekly commitment. You only get deliveries when you want them. It's pretty easy. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. I want to caution you that while it's easy in terms of step-by-step, you have to do some stuff. And if you're not trained in a kitchen, it's going to take you a little bit more time than a great cook will take. But you're going to have fun doing it, so I recommend it. It's guaranteed. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they will make it right. And you can check out this week's menu. You can get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TonyK. You love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That is blueapron.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
You came on the scene in a room with a view. The film world held great promises for you.
This is sent in by Chris Mars of Pasadena, California. Says he's an avid listener to the podcast and a PTI diehard. He submitted a song written and performed by his brother, Homer Mars, a talented and Wilbon-alike this Chicago-based songwriter whose serio-comic tone is affectionately described as quirk rock. This song is called A Prayer for Julian Sands, a tongue-in-cheek ballad on the star-crossed career of the nearly famous British actor. And the sports connection is Homer Mars is the grandson of longtime Chicago Tribune sports columnist Dave Condon, who began in the 1940s ghostwriting for Arch Ward and then authored In the Wake of the News column at the Tribune for 38 years. You must have known Condon pretty well, right?
No, Tony, I didn't get to know Condon. I read Condon as a child, as a child and then a teenager. And it seems to me Condon retired when I was in college.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that, but I read Condon the formative years of my life when you get to know sports columnists that way. I doubt I ever met him.
Wasn't Condon one of the original guys on the Chicago Sports Writers?
Yes, he was.
Which is the genesis for all shows being done by Wilbon and me at this point in our lives.
That's right.
So then his grandson is now a musician.
Very cool to hear.
That's very lovely. All right, so this is Wilbon, and we will get, there's fake news and then there's real news. The real news is obviously Boogie Cousins. We will get to that. But the more important news is not fake news, but medical news. You had your knee, you had your meniscus repaired in your right knee on Tuesday. We are now a week out. How are you?
We're really going to find out today. I've got some, in a couple hours, Tony, I've got some, the first rehab work. So we'll see how I am. I guess I'm pretty good. You know, the knee and the surgery went well, and I'm moving around, and I went to Matthew's basketball game yesterday. They lost by a free throw. Tough day for the kiddos. Against the best team in their league, so that wasn't so bad. But so I was moving around. But the meds, man. I I'm not a guy who takes meds. And when you take this stuff now, these major painkillers that you have to take after your surgery, even after a scope, it just destroys your whole balance if you have any. You know, and I usually have some, and it just kills it. I mean, you got, you know, the amount of sleep you need to get, the amount of nausea these meds induce, usually, and then you wind up taking some anti-nausea pills. It's like, my God. And I, you know, I've just never had, you know, I mean, like, I've had health stuff, obviously. I got some major things in my life, but I never had the kind of things to put you in the hospital and require meds. So for me, this is very new. And the notion that you have, like, these dreams, and you know, it's like hallucinogens. It's like, my God, how do people...
This is really different from what I'm used to. Now, you had your scope done on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, Jackie Walker, one of our makeup artists, had something done. I called her yesterday, and she said, nobody told me I would go backwards 3 days in.
Yeah.
And she said that you and she had talked. I consider myself very lucky. I've had 2 or 3 operations in my life that required anesthesia, and I never, ever had what you had. Coming out of it, I just got progressively better and cut the Percocet almost immediately, and I had no complications, and you did, and so did she.
Well, I had, because the Percocet caused, you know, nausea and these crazy dreams, my God.
Wow, it's like taking LSD.
It was like I was trying to write the great novel of my life while I was asleep.
Well, we all do that.
For a couple of nights. No, I never tried that.
Oh.
So, yes, it was. That's exactly what it was like, or what I would imagine it to be like. And it's from moment one. So because if you have a reaction to the Percocet or whatever it is that they give you on the way out of the surgery, then there's no immediate progression. You know, so that was the case for me. And Tony, not a coincidence, because it's the same reaction I had to it. The only other time I had a surgical procedure like this, which was 19 years ago, I had to be taken to the hospital, rushed to the hospital. Only the first night I ever spent in the hospital in my life was at like 39 years old. I had a similar scope. And so it's not the procedure, it's not the recovery from the procedure, it's the meds.
Yeah. Well, you missed, you know, it would have happened anyway, but you missed the rare and great golf weekend in Washington, D.C. In February.
Unbelievable. I would have missed it anyway. It is just sort of stunning in the forecast. So this happened about 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm rarely here in the spring because once we get to the spring, I'm with the NBA playoffs. But I remember it being so warm that the cherry blossoms came out like a couple of weeks early. Tony, with the forecast for the next 2 weeks, the cherry blossoms are going to come out a month early.
It's really remarkable as to how warm it is. Like, if you look in your yard, there's stuff coming up out of the ground, and it's two weeks early.
There's no chance that these things aren't going to be earlier than I've ever seen.
No, and if there's a snowstorm, they're dead.
70s, there's no snowstorm. You have to have a snowstorm, you got to have temperatures in the 30s.
Well, maybe in March.
Aren't going to even be below the high 50s.
I mean, there's no way anything could accumulate after this. We're going to have essentially a week of 70 degrees here.
It's amazing.
Even if it all of a sudden got cold. I mean, the ground temperature.
Yeah, there's nothing going on, and there's no forecast for cold.
No.
No, it's remarkable. All right, let me get not so much to the All-Star game, which I don't care about, but the actual news at this point is the trading of Boogie Cousins. And let me preface this by saying what I said earlier in the show. As recently as the last 24 to 48 hours, not only did Boogie Cousins say, I do not want to be traded, I want to stay here, but Vlade Divac, speaking for the Sacramento Kings organization, said, we are not trading this guy. We're not going to do it. Vlade Divac is not only a terrible general manager, he's a stone-cold liar.
Okay, Tony, I don't even know what happened overnight.
Oh, that's right. You've been drugged up.
Yes.
Boogie Cousins
was traded.
It wasn't
a drug-induced dream.
I heard the news and just thought that I was trading him and I was the general manager.
In the novel you wrote in your mind,
You
traded Boogie Cousins to New Orleans for 53 guards and a couple of picks down
the literally,
ropes.
Buddy
Hield,
for like
Tyreek Evans,
a bag of balls.
And a number one.
Right. So right. A few picks, Buddy Hield, and Tyreek.
You just traded. Now, he's not a free agent until the end of next season. And apparently New Orleans is expressing confidence that they can keep him. A bunch of things are suggested here. The most obvious one is, why does anyone think that Boogie Cousins can play with Anthony Davis? Why?
Well, because they do very different things, and they don't want to kill Anthony Davis physically. by having him do both, you know, be the inside force that he could be and sort of the all-court presence that he is. And so they don't, you can't do both. They're not going to win if he has to do both those things. And yet, and not everybody's going to go small ball. I mean, I know that the common prevailing wisdom is now, oh, you don't even need a big man. You could just, the NBA is a 6'4 and under league.
Well, not this team.
Well, it isn't. And so did they, is Buddy Hield part of that? Is he?
Yeah, he's gone. Buddy Hield is gone. Tyreke Evans is gone. Somebody I've never heard of is gone. And there are picks down the road.
Well, good. Then why wouldn't you do that if you're in New Orleans?
Only because you wonder, can they play together? You think they can?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, he was, look, Anthony Davis, if he's going to have any career success, is going to have to play with a couple of all-star players. And you could say, well, both of them could be backcourt. And I suppose they could if you had a truly great point guard and a truly great wing.
Yeah.
Then maybe you get greatness, physically, talent that way. But okay, I mean, Boogie Cousins can be just the guy he is now. No more, no less. Stable, yes. No more, no less on the basketball court. And now, clearly, you need a point guard and shooters, and that point guard needs to be more in the mold of a Mike Conley guy, not a guy who is...
Well, it's Drew Holiday is their point guard at the moment.
Drew Holiday's point guard for the moment.
At the moment.
Yeah. And so going forward, what is it that you're trying to do if you're the New Orleans Pelicans? Well, at least, you know, that gives some intrigue. I mean, you basically, with New Orleans and Sacramento, you had two non-teams.
Yeah.
With each with a big star, both going nowhere. Now, at least you've got one of those teams is intriguing, and let's find out if the team there can put a real squad around Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis, two big-time all-stars who are, I bet, the same age, maybe, 25?
About the same age, because they were each one-and-dones with Calipari at some point at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but I would ask this, and this is, I understand this is a corollary question, but Vlade Divac, to me, over the course of his career as a GM there, he is not to be trusted.
Well, you know what, Tony? Vlade Divac is like not even the issue.
No, I just
because
decided.
The ownership there. The
well,
owner.
Yeah.
GMs exist under owners. GMs don't run things unless they're, I don't know whether Vlade Divac, I'm not going to make the case he's any good, because you can't do that. But, you know, the thing is, Sacramento just became completely irrelevant in a brand new building.
Yeah.
That really, to me, of course, shouldn't even have been there, because the team should have been back in Seattle.
They should have moved. And I don't
maybe he wants to move them again.
You and I have talked about this. We do not know how New Orleans can sustain a basketball franchise.
No,
just don't have any people.
When you have a 250,000 people as your population.
Can't do it.
You can have a viable team. I don't know about the support. And I don't know how New Orleans rallies around them financially in terms of corporate sponsors and all of that.
They don't have anything.
Well, you win, you fill the building. Doesn't matter how small the market is. I mean, if they win.
But like, I think the TV deal is like one of the small, because the market is small.
Small,
there's just not that much money coming
in. Here's the thing. That's true if you have one team to which all the resources in your market flow, like
the Saints,
Oklahoma City.
They have the Saints.
Yeah.
The
but
Saints
when you have the
team.
Saints already, what's
up.
Left?
Yeah, I don't think there's
And
much.
We're talking about committed resources in terms of happily committed resources in terms of the Saints, traditionally committed resources. So it's an interesting thing. Make one of them relevant. I understand the other one goes away in terms of anybody's attention, but I don't have a horse in that race, so I'm fine, especially with Alvin Gentry, who's a buddy, and Dell Demps, who I have connection with because his son played at Northwestern, the general manager of New Orleans. I hope that, you know, they can get something going.
By the way, Boogie is 26 and Davis is 23. I mean, if you can sign the two of them, that's a you need other players, but that's a nice core.
See, if you can sign the two of them, now, for them, it's less than others because they're not as old. Even for them, that's a $350 million question.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. All right, I'll get you out of here on this. I was watching TV the other day, and there was a story about the Cubs that the Cubs were going to allow 20 or 25 fans to give out the rings or something like that. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about this?
And no. I have, but that's easy enough to do. It's a ceremony, and you hand them out, you know, before the first home game, by which time, you know, even in Chicago, it could be above 40 degrees now. It's so warm everywhere. They come down the field and they hand out the rings. I mean,
thousands of people are submitting videotapes,
of course,
to be chosen to do this,
yeah,
including some people who are like 100 years old, who they have to let do it. They have to let do it.
Well, you'll skew it. It'll skew all the average age of that group could be like 70. No, Tony, I heard, look, there's so many things going on with the Cubs. I mean, if you're the Tribune or the Sun-Times, you have to have like four beat writers on your staff who are completely devoted exclusively to covering the Cubs. There's just stuff going on all the time, every moment with that team. You know, I realized I was sort of one of the wake up in a panic situations for me was knowing that we spend some time in Arizona in the spring during spring training, and Matthew and I, on his birthday, we go see the Cubs at least once, and we'll go more than once this year. I don't have any Cubs tickets for spring training. And you know what it means? It means I would have to pay prices like probably the first round of playoffs to see spring training games. Games that are, you know, if you want to see the White Sox this spring, which is right around the corner, right around their beltway, the 101, I'll probably be able to go to a White Sox-Dodgers game for $15. $12.
What are the Cubs?
$150.
Wow. For spring training.
I'm guessing. I haven't gone online yet, but if I want to get a decent seat, I can't imagine that it's not going to be three times. Look, last year.
But people are happy to do it.
You know, yeah. You're going to sit outside in a perfect weather situation for the most part for over a month if you're going there. Now, for me, it's the end of it. And most people have seen the games by the time I get there in mid to late March. But yeah, Tony, I got a feeling I'm gonna have to go $150 to go to spring training.
That's a lot
for that team, because that's you know, people can talk about how big something is where they are. You know, this is the big fish in the big pond.
Absolutely.
It's such a rare thing.
All right, I'll see you later. Crutch or no crutch today? Cane, crutch, what?
No crutch. I'm going to try to go crutchless.
See you later.
Not crotchless, crutchless.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will take a break. When we come back, Nigel will lead us into the news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house. It has a sleek design, and it is delivered in a small, sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the Internet's favorite mattress. There is free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. And if you try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home, and then you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. It is designed, developed, and assembled in the United States of America, and you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Tony. And Casper is spelled C-A-S-P-E-R. Use the promo code Tony. Let's do it again. www.casper.com/Tony. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
We waited 5 years for the world to go bust, to explode into space and scatter as dust. I tried to hold on.
sure who to trust.
This is John Elderkin, who writes,
I didn't know about love.
Long time little, former American University prof, now living in Chapel Hill. We played one of his songs in December, which was a great thrill. He is now releasing a 2 years in the making Labor of Love, a concept album sequel to David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust. And his band, Moonbeams No Mas, features local luminaries such as REM producer Don Dixon and Robert Sledge, the Ben Folds Five. So this is, Nigel, if you understand this correctly, it's a Ziggy Stardust follow.
Yeah.
Conceptually.
It's sort of an homage, I think, to David Bowie.
That's lovely. It's called This Song As We Waited 5 Years. Michael, if people want to send their music in so it can be played at the end of our shows in full, how do they do that?
As always, they can send it to jingles at tonykornheiser.com.
And if they want to buy something, say a tumbler or whatever else we sell.
A coffee mug.
A coffee mug. How are we doing on coffee mugs?
Shop.tonykornheisershow.com. They are moving quickly.
Good. And also, again, at Chad's tonight, 7:30. It's trivia night. Nigel has news for us.
Yes, indeed I do, Mr. Tony. And this is a sad day for citizens of the District of Columbia and,
why?
I guess, the DMV in general.
Why?
Because Bow Bow is leaving.
Yep.
Bow Bow the panda.
The lease ran out.
Yeah.
It's a 3-year lease all in, and the lease ran out, and they're taking the panda and shipping it back to China.
Yeah, so if you would like, if you live in the D.C. area. And
can you see it today?
You can see Bow Bow today.
When is it bye-bye for Bow Bow?
Tomorrow morning on a plane straight to Beijing.
Leaving on a jet plane.
Exactly.
Wow. Direct? Just, non-stop?
Yeah, non-stop.
Then change in Reykjavik?
No, just she's got the way to go.
Now,
so,
does that panda get a flight all to herself? I mean, is it
that
like...
That would be it's my
not,
guess.
She's in the cockpit.
No, I don't think they like not, crate her and throw her with the luggage.
No, right? Like, she's on like a 747 of her own.
Right.
Would be
you
my
think
guess.
So?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to... It's not going to be a passenger... I mean, I'm
don't
sure
you
there
think
are a
they drug, Don't you think they
China.
Drug...
Well, it's a bear.
The bear? And so that it sleeps the whole way?
How are you going to watch the movies if you're drugged?
I think, you know, I think they drug the bear is what my guess is.
If you are making your plans now, well... We won't get to do this, but between
we drop at 11 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, you're going to miss the her eating the ice cake between 9:15 and 9:30. I know that.
How about the rice cake later in the day?
That's later in the day, and I know as we were joking before we got into this segment, if we went, we would show up right at 9:15 and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, she's asleep."
That thing because never does anything but lay on the ground.
Have you ever
I'm
seen
not convinced
a panda?
It's alive.
You've never seen a panda in your time here.
I've seen one or two. There's probably been 35 pandas, right. And I've probably seen one or two actually move. Maybe.
Yes.
They don't move. They don't do anything. They just lay there. They may or may not be alive.
Yep.
It's like Ali may or may not have been Ali. Right.
No,
we don't
not,
know.
Not may.
We don't know.
No, we've got that rule.
So say goodbye to the panda.
How, with all the advances in modern science, are we still considering those things bears? I mean, look at that. It's not a bear.
What is it?
It's bearish. It's like a stuffed animal come to life or something.
Not if it gets its paws on you. It's a killer.
All right. What else?
Tough day.
And by the way, a lot of people are sad at this. You know, that's the rule.
Yeah.
The rule is.
That's
the deal. Signed.
Yeah. China owns it, and that's it. That's it.
It's a bad deal, though.
To renegotiate the
renegotiate
deal.
Horrible deal.
At failing
this is
National
one of the worst,
Zoo. Sad.
This is one of the worst deals I've ever seen.
Yeah. What else?
Tough day for Maryland. They lose to Wisconsin 71-60. Melo Trimble sits for about the last 4.5 minutes.
Last 8 minutes, Wisconsin steadily improved its position and pulled away.
Yeah.
Last 8 minutes of the game. I watched the last 10 minutes. Here's Maryland's deal. Maryland's pretty good. Maryland's going to make the tournament. Maryland probably be a 4 or 5, something like that. They've lost to Purdue and Wisconsin, who are better. Yep. Purdue and Wisconsin are a little bit better than Maryland. Those are the top three teams in the Big Ten. And under them, Michigan State is having a down year. Michigan is having a down year. Ohio State is having a down year. Northwestern is in there at like 4 or 5. Iowa having a down year. These are teams that are usually good, and they're not particularly good this year. The conference is down. Maryland is going to make the tournament. And Maryland lost on that's a road game, right? That was not
correct.
Home game.
Yeah,
was
only
not,
their
on the
second
road,
road loss
game.
Of the season.
Okay,
and by the way, the sitting of Melo is inconsequential. You go to Wisconsin and give up 70, you're going to lose because you're not going to score 70 at Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is the so if you loss. Right, if Virginia scores 70 on you, Virginia's going to win, but they don't score 70 ever. Virginia, by the
God,
way,
they got killed.
Tailspin
I watched that game
for Virginia. North
they can't
Carolina
score.
No,
I mean they cannot score.
No,
they had like 29 with 10 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
Now you said the other day you believe that Duke has now reasserted themselves as a contender.
No, not as a contender. I believe that right now, today, Duke is the best basketball team in the country. Now, I don't – and so, you know, when a guy like Jay Williams, who we had on the PTI show, says, oh, no, because when North Carolina gets his guys back – no, it's not what I said.
Right.
It's not what I said.
Today, right.
Today,
now.
I believe – that doesn't mean they're going to win. Today, I believe they're the best basketball team in America. Me. That's just me.
Best basketball team in America.
Not Georgetown.
Probably not Georgetown. They lose –
Hurtful?
They lose to Creighton.
Words hurt.
Marcus – am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, Creighton.
Thank you. Marcus Foster with a career high, 35 points.
Great.
For the 20th-ranked Blue Jays. 87-70, the win.
They're not going to make the tournament unless they win the Big East.
I mean, they're not winning the Big East. They have no chance of beating Villanova.
No, they're not going to. They're not going to make the tournament.
No,
second year in a row.
14-13 and 5-9 in Big East play.
Wow,
that's tough.
What else?
Something happened to the Capitals, which has not happened for just about 2 months. They lost their second game in a row. Now they lost in a shootout on Saturday night. And then they lost yesterday afternoon to the New York Rangers. They
lost to Detroit. They lost back-to-back games against – well, Detroit is not that good this year, but that's Detroit.
Right.
That's a big deal,
too. Right,
team.
Then they lose the afternoon game yesterday to the Rangers 2-1. They still have the most points in the NHL, but I believe by just one now over the Wild.
Here's what has happened, and you're going to see the same thing in the NBA. You take a week off in the middle of the season. If you believe in momentum at all, there is no momentum after that. You have taken a week off. The Capitals were killing people. Every single team they played, home or away, they beat 5-0 or 6-0. They were the greatest team you've ever seen for about a month. And then you put them on ice for a week, and everything changes. Now, they can get back to that, but you are restarting your season. The commissioners, these two dopes, Adam Silver and Gary Bettman, don't understand that if you bend over backwards to make the players happy, you make the labor force happy, what you do is you kill the flow of your season. Now, it's very possible that it'll result in something better, that in the last 30 games of the year in hockey, in the last 30 games of basketball, you will see this mad dash that will produce fabulous teams and fabulous games, and perhaps if you care locally in Washington, D.C., the Wizards and the Capitals, who were doing great before this break, they will reassert themselves and they will still be great. That's certainly possible, but when you take away an entire week from a league that's used to playing 3 and 4 days a week, right, Chris?
It's when Gary and I are off for a week and we come back. It
changes
just,
everything.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Changes
well,
Gary,
can just turn
I
it
agree
right
with
back
you
on.
That it messes with the momentum, but I'm not sure that come May or
yeah.
June,
it may not matter at all.
If they
it
make
could
it
be,
that
sure,
it might be a benefit.
Short term pain, long term gain.
You know,
but
you're
it
now,
changes it.
In a month or two, well, 2 months. Some of these hockey teams are going to be playing 7-period games, 6-period games. You know, they got those
right.
2, 3, 4 overtime playoff games.
That's right.
So that little bit of time that you had this week,
maybe.
Middle of February, might help.
The
you.
Hockey season is underratedly long.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It is.
Sneaky
every
long.
Every series in the playoffs is a 7-game series, and it feels like it's a best of 7, and it feels like virtually every team makes it. I mean, that playoffs goes on forever. Longer. I mean, I feel longer than the NBA, which also is.
They start earlier. They end earlier, too.
And the NBA gets back in action, in 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah,
yep.
Something like that.
Yeah. They're playing off in Europe for a while and they come back. European break.
Crazy.
Right. Crazy. Dustin Johnson is your new number one golfer in the world after he wins at Riviera yesterday. I believe a 5-shot victory, shot 71 yesterday.
Yeah. Michael, your feeling about that tournament is that it was utterly and completely destroyed and made irrelevant by weather.
By weather, you've had 3 of the last 4 tournaments, all the coastal California events, just absolutely destroyed by the rain.
Thanks, Obama.
I think the interesting takeaway is you look at the grounds crew and you give credit to what they are able to get done, which is you had 3 tournaments finishing on time. The fact that they're able to finish this on a Sunday afternoon is amazing. You look at what happened.
But it had no continuity because
there's no continuity.
Sunday morning you didn't know what round you were.
Right. You also have no repairing of the final group, which means you have no chance for a contender 2 to 3 back or 2 to 3 groups back to try and catch up with Dustin Johnson. You have a rain-soaked golf course that gave his number one club, his driver, the biggest advantage I've ever seen it have. He was 30, 40, 50 yards ahead of some of these guys because if you're hitting it in the rough, it's not bouncing back. And there's so much undulation and slope on those bluffs because Riviera basically sits atop a big bluff looking back down to the Pacific Ocean. So you have some of these holes, like 18. You need to play it left of the fairway to have it bounce into the center so you have an angle. And he just has too much of an advantage for that.
He bombs it. So he is the number one player in the world. And if you think that matters, consider this. Phil Mickelson, who has five majors, who's, you know, he's a Hall of Fame
golfer.
Who
was chipping in every time you turned around.
Phil Mickelson was never the number one player in the world. And Luke Donald, who has never won anything. He's never won a single tournament that matters anywhere in the world. Luke Donald was number one.
So you're saying it's quite important.
I'm saying, what I'm saying is that...
If I'm hearing you right, this is the single measure to judge golfers.
I'm saying that the formula... by which they derive at the number one player is stuck.
Faldo on Saturday afternoon said something on the telecast that I found just absolutely delightful, where he mentioned he had to win his fourth major to get the number one ranking. And now all you have to do is play well in limited field events, because half of these are WGCs, or you get to the FedEx playoffs where it just it gets increasingly easier to get bonus
Faldo
points by
screaming,
well.
"Get off my lawn!"
That's exactly what he's doing, because Luke Donald has won nothing. He's won nothing, and he was the number one player in the world. Come on, that's it.
Come on. One final story.
What
from the city of brotherly love? We've all seen this sometimes where cabbies get in an argument over who's going to get the fare.
Right.
Well, two cabbies in particular got in a rather heated argument in Philadelphia, and one cab driver
tase me, bro.
No, he pulled out a knife and he said, "This is my fare." Now, if you're going to do that,
that's not a knife.
Don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Oh, God.
Because the other cabbie
pulled a gun
and shot him. Did not kill him, but shot him. And that
sending a message.
Yeah, well, and got the fare.
Yeah, that's
right?
The Chicago way, yeah.
I would tell you that might be in court justifiable.
Self-defense.
Yeah.
Well, it says the driver with the knife allegedly threatened the other man with the weapon and later punched him in the face.
See?
Yeah. So,
so that's it.
So it might be justifiable.
That's going to be justifiable at that point.
Yeah. Yes. Always nice to see the people of Philadelphia working things out amicably.
All right, we will take a break. When we return, we will have Old Guy Radio. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here is the Me Undies ad, okay? Elevate your underwear game to the next level with Me Undies. That's a declarative sentence, so let me do it again. Elevate your underwear game, some of you didn't know you had that, to the next level with Me Undies. You perfected your wardrobe, but what about the stuff not everybody gets to see? If you've been settling for store-bought underwear 5-packs, I have something that will change your life for the better, MeUndies. What's the first thing you put on and the last thing you take off? It's your underwear. Make your most important piece of clothing the best it can be with MeUndies, all right? MeUndies are designed in Los Angeles. They're made from sustainably sourced micromodal, a fabric 3 times softer than cotton. MeUndies softer than soft, luxe undies, L-U-X-E, luxe. I assume that's short for luxurious. Come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. And guess what? You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. If you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL. What does that mean? What's a URL?
It stands for Uniform Resource Locator.
Okay, so just use our special URL, meundies.com/TonyK. Get 20% off your first pair. Go ahead and revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. I like that. I like that. I like the copy here. Once again, that's meundies.com/TonyK. Meundies, MEUNDIES.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio, this is Sonny and Cher, whose real names, I believe, are Salvatore Bono and Sherilyn Sarkeesian. In the area of critical commentary, there was no bigger duo. There's just nothing bigger in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s, especially when they started doing television shows. They divorced 43 years ago today, which is why we're playing this. And also, if you've ever seen the lovely movie Groundhog Day, this is the beginning of every single scene. Groundhog Day.
Every day.
Whoever came up with the idea for that, it's such a brilliant idea. You don't think the movie's going to be any good. The movie is so great. And by the way, you can watch it 1,000 times.
Yep. Yeah.
It never gets old.
Saw it recently.
It's wonderful.
Saw it with the kids about 2 months ago. And yeah,
absolutely wonderful.
And there's a ripoff of that coming up, some teen horror movie where somebody, you know, oh, I'm going to die in a car accident or something like that, and they relive that day over and over again.
The Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt movie from last year. Which is really, really good.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's really good, and that is the same, conceptually, it's the same
thing. Not as funny, though.
No, not funny at all, but really
well,
good.
Depends on your perspective.
So Sonny and Cher, so they had, Sonny became a congressman.
Yeah.
From the Palm Springs area of California.
Wife, his next wife took over after him for a number of years.
You say that like it's entirely unbelievable.
An entertainer
these days.
Going into politics.
I mean, but back then, yes.
It was pretty impressive. And then he died horribly in a skiing accident.
That area he represents out there is beautiful. What he represented, Palm Springs, gorgeous.
Sure.
By the way, quick correction, Anthony Davis just signed a 5-year. He's locked up through 2021.
Okay, so they
just FYI.
So you don't have to worry about
anything. He's there for a while.
So
it would make sense.
We talked briefly about Dustin Johnson, and I want to get off topic, but I want to stay on the golf tournament simply for this reason. And I don't know how many of you watched it, but it was referred to constantly as the Genesis Open. It's the first year that Genesis, which is a car, took over this particular thing. And time again, it was the Genesis Open. And you say, well, what are you talking about? What is the big deal? Well, the big deal is, to me, Genesis is a Hyundai. It's the top of the line Hyundai car. In no commercials did they talk about Hyundai. Not at all, not once. Because Genesis is a luxury car, and it probably, I'm going to take a guess here. Gary, could you look it up? I'm going to say it's a $60,000 to $65,000 car.
The 2016 Hyundai Genesis MSRP from $26,950.
I think it's much more
expensive.
Now you
can load it up,
I think
it's
much more expensive than that. I think it's a $60,000 car. I really do. And they didn't, and what I wanted to get to was they never mentioned Hyundai because if you're thinking of buying a Hyundai, you are not thinking of spending 50 and up. You're not thinking luxury. That is not in your mindset at all.
So let me clarify. That was the coupe body style, and that is an entry-level price. The Genesis G90, $69,000.
This is what I'm saying. This is a big deal car,
but don't,
the Genesis.
Don't, I mean, Toyota owns Lexus, and Nissan owns Infiniti. I mean, I feel like they all do this. They try to separate out their luxury brand, so they make you feel like you're not buying a
Toyota.
But
if you had the Lexus tournament, that's not the same. That would be if Cadillac, for example, and Cadillac wouldn't do this because Cadillac sells on a higher level. They wouldn't have the Escalade Open. They would not have that. They would show all their cars.
It's a brand
clarifying now. Founded.
You are clarifying a lot. This
founded.
Is your third clarification.
Well, because you're wrong. founded in November of 2015, Genesis Motors is the luxury vehicle division of Hyundai. So it is like Lexus.
Okay, but they never say Hyundai. They never say
well,
that.
But Lexus wouldn't say Toyota.
Oh. You're saying it's not a.
Okay,
you're saying
it's not like the Escalade Open.
It's not a.
It's
not
a separate division
so
now.
I thought what Genesis was the actual
car.
Well, you're correct. There used to be a Hyundai Genesis.
Yes.
Now they have broken it off. It's Genesis Motors, and it's a separate division.
I stand totally corrected on that because my feeling was that there are certain. What I wanted to get into was the notion of brands. There are certain parameters for brands above which or below which you're not going to go. If Mercedes-Benz came out with a $21,000 all-in car, you'd go, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. It's not what I'm expecting. And this stuff happens all the time. You establish a brand. Everyone understands the parameters of the brand. I mean, I think it's probably why if you're Chevrolet, you cannot come out with a $70,000 car. And nobody's going to buy it because they associate Chevrolet within a certain border. Do you agree with this?
Yes.
I wish I could give a better example.
I think that's why they create these luxury brand within a brand things for that reason. Because, you know, a Toyota, when you think of a Toyota, you usually think of a Camry or like a Highlander, but like at most a $40,000 car. You think of a Lexus, you're thinking of it higher. Starts at 50.
But,
I mean, I think they're doing that.
But
on
you
purpose.
Can spend 60 grand on a Chevy on like a Suburban.
You can spend 80 grand on a Chevy.
Yeah.
Yes.
But,
the average,
but it's not a luxury.
The average consumer.
Well, you spend a Corvette. Which no longer even is associated with Chevy.
Right. A Suburban, a souped-up Suburban is like 85 grand.
Monstrous.
Yeah.
Those are monstrous.
But the point is that's where they do it. It's
not a luxury car.
That's right. That's right.
There's a difference in the way you sell it. I remember many years ago, 25, 30 years ago, when Infiniti came out and their first series of ads, you didn't even know it was for a car. Mm-hmm. You had no idea.
It was like lifestyle.
They created a market by making you wonder what is Infiniti, and they had, you know, drops of water and trees growing. You had no idea the thing was a car, and it whet your appetite for what it might be. So I thought that was pretty smart. But then I'm totally corrected on this because I was wondering about this all weekend.
Well, your belief was founded in the former reality that there was a Hyundai
Much
Genesis.
Much of my beliefs are founded in former reality.
It's so a long-standing belief.
Freakishly warm in Washington, D.C. Michael and I played golf on Saturday. I played again on Sunday. It was like early 60s on Saturday. It got to 70 degrees yesterday. Beautiful. And I bring this up because the Kelleher family, Matt and Shannon and the kids, they had scheduled
ski weekend.
Ski weekend in West Virginia.
Dagger.
Ski weekend in West Virginia. Now, what? Now, even
did
if
they
you
go?
Make yes.
Yeah, I'm sure
even
they
if
it's
you
probably
make,
just slushy.
Even if you make your own snow halfway down, you stop
slush.
Dead.
Right.
Yeah. Right? It becomes a slush ball. What can you do?
Had a conversation about that yesterday. Was at my local farm brewery, Wardaka Brewing, out in Montgomery County with a bunch of friends. Beautiful day.
Aren't we going to try and use
shorts, flip flops?
We are.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, Wardaka may be available at Chance.
Yeah, it's going to be a chance.
And we were talking about that. Like, if you were skiing, I mean, I first of all, you would have limited trails open. I mean, there's no way an entire mountain is open, even getting out to Timberlawn or wherever they may have been out in West Virginia. You're going to have limited runs, but after back-to-back days like we had this weekend, I mean,
it's
it
water.
Was just...
I only ski out west, Deer Valley.
So you are a skier?
No.
I'm not a skier.
I'm terrible at that
I'm
stuff.
I'm not a skier. Are you a skier?
I used to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I professional or?
Yeah, I was on
the Eagle?
The England team. Yeah, we're great skiers. No, but I did live in Colorado for a little while. And when you
Isn't that where you arrested Chris Evert or you accused her of shoplifting?
I did accuse her of shoplifting.
Yeah, so great.
You wrote the Great American Novel.
That's sort of like in that wonderful movie where Mark Wahlberg shoots Derek Jeter and they call him the Yankee Clipper. It's such a great line.
Wait, let's reset. Why did you arrest Chris Evert?
She was boosting books from like a Borders or something.
Yeah, it was
fantastic.
It was a complicated scheme that she had been stealing books for years. No,
So you finally sniffed it out.
Yes, I was.
In many ways, the state owes you a debt.
Inspector Clouseau and I were able to suss it out. No, I was working at a bookstore cafe called Explore Bookseller.
Everybody was.
Right. And
writing your novel.
And I was writing my Great American Novel. And
walking dogs.
And yeah, I was, you know, it was a wonderful place to be and a wonderful place to work. But the alarm went off. Every single day, like 50,000
every time
times a
Chris
day.
Everett walked in.
No, it went off, and no one ever bothered to be like, hey, let me get your bag. So one day, it was particularly
someone
crowded.
Someone needs to take a stand.
And I was like, I'm going to be the big man on campus. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, can I look in your bag? And she turns around, and it's the Queen of Roland Garros. And I was like...
It's just, she's... I love Chris Everett.
I do, too.
I am totally in love
with
Chris Everett. She is a total sweetheart. And you accused her of shoplifting.
Right. So she turns around. I see who it is.
Fantastic.
I'm like, never mind. Just go.
Yes, please
go. Just go.
And that's when you said, here's my number.
Well, no. She goes, no, check my bag. So there I am. And I'm
let's make it worse.
Yeah, I'm beaten
let's
red.
Let's make it
I'm
worse.
I'm trying to look at
check
stuff.
Check my bag.
And by the way, look what's in there. It's some of my Wimbledon trophies.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know who I am?
It's a big stack of money.
Mortifying. and then she goes through the alarm and it goes off again. She looks around at me and just sort of... smirks, and I just, please
go.
Leave.
Sheepishly, you let her go.
Yes.
Celebrity encounters like that are wonderful.
Awesome.
Just wonderful.
By the way, Anita from Alaska has
catching salmon with her teeth,
right? This is a picture she tweeted out of you golfing this weekend, I believe, at Columbia. Is that the purple line right behind you?
That's not, no, that's not me, and that's not Columbia. Oh, I have no idea.
That is you at Columbia. That is an old photo.
It's not
photo.
This weekend, because no, I was wearing pants.
It is a photo from last year that I believe was doctored to show the purple line. Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, the purple line coming right through in the back? Yeah, it's purple. Yeah.
There you got to be careful
so
on the back.
So have you heard from Matt? Did they?
No, I'm going to find out today. I want to find out how the ski trip went.
And can I just say, if Chris Everett is listening to this right now?
She's not.
She is.
I just fully apologize.
Yeah, she's
I
not.
Really do.
So I want to bring you up to date on my Washington gas bill.
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay,
oh.
The Washington gas bill.
No gas was used.
No gas
was used. Wiring minds want to know.
Phone calls returned?
I got a phone call.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I had sent...
very quickly.
Okay. I don't use any gas in the little house. It's just not used.
On the prairie.
On the bills that they send you where it says comparing this year to last year, there is no comparison because right. I don't use gas.
Zero.
I spend $9.90 every month, I guess, for the right to be hooked up to the gas line.
Yeah.
But I don't use any gas, which is demonstrable on my bill, provable. This is not called into question. My bill went from $9.90 to $14.32. And I have to sit here and take the barbs of Leon Harris saying, well, it's only $5. But that's not – the point isn't that it only went up $5. The point is that it went up 48% for no reason at all. And I sought to get explanations, and I talked to three different people, and I never got a reasonable explanation, never. So I sent out letters.
Sunspots.
I sent out letters to five executives at Washington Gas. An email to the number one guy and then the four people under, and I went, gentlemen and ladies.
A very respectful subject line, right?
Do you know who I am?
No, that wasn't it at all. And I said, look, this is what happened to me. This is ridiculous. You know, why is this happening? This should not be happening.
It should be pointed out, when you attempted to call, you were hung up on, you were treated badly.
Yes, by customer service. So then, after waiting 2 days without a response from any of these executives, I fired off another email to the exact, not just to the president this time, saying, do you pay no attention to your email? I have written you. I have detailed exactly what happened with my gas bill, and I expect you to respond. And I signed it, Tony Kornheiser, Washington, D.C., well, what else am I supposed to do? I went through this. I check my own email, and I have an email from Ruben Rodriguez. Now, that name may not mean much to you, but Ruben Rodriguez worked at the Post when I worked at the Post. And Ruben Rodriguez now works at Washington Gas. And he asked me to call him. And I called him, and he said, this surprised me no end. He said, we are grateful that you did this. This helps us tremendously in teaching our customer service representatives
how to deal with people like this.
And I said, well, what do you think it was?
Don't you love it when people hate their meal at Chad's? It's great.
Man, thank you, Tony. In many ways, we owe you for complaining. I was happy.
I was grateful to Ruben Rodriguez for saying these things to me.
Sure.
And he said what he thought happened, and I got one other email from somebody who had a similar thought, was that in revamping their billing system and revamping how they store their stuff, Washington Gas allowed about 5 to 8 days where they did not charge you in the regular billing period. And so your bill was a little bit bigger. And I said, that's fine, but mine went up 48%. So, I mean, that's absurd. That's just not going to apply to me, and I'd like to know how it would apply to me. I am still waiting on that. But somebody got back to me,
which I appreciated. Yeah.
I thought it was very nice.
They just got to rethink how they're going to screw people. They got to figure it out.
Yeah, when you put charitable donations on your tax return, you can put that you had called that. Because, you know, in many ways, you helped them out.
Well, I did say the one thing about where they said, you know, we're doing this because it got very cold and we didn't want people to have to spend a lot of money on new pipes.
Got cold.
How
much time would you estimate you have – man hours – have you spent on this for what I paid for a coffee this morning at Starbucks?
I said
it's definitely more than one man hour.
Okay,
now,
yeah, but what is true about me and not true about most people in the culture? Most people in the culture have automatic deductions of bills, and they don't even know how much they pay.
Right.
They don't even know, which is great. If you're a company and you want to just squeeze people, you can do it easily.
I just take hundreds and throw them on the ground.
There are very few people like me who make a lot of money and still want to understand why their bill went up.
Now, if they can't make good on the bill, but they could give you something like a Bobcat, would that matter?
I don't know. I don't want a Bobcat.
M1's off the table. He's got one. I got not hitting it well.
M1? Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't want that.
Okay.
I want an entire redo of a little house for free. That is that seems unbelievably expensive.
Seems equitable. Yeah, you know what? That's a good demand.
Oh, so unbelievably expensive. All right, that's it. That's all.
Free dinner at Chad's.
We will trivia tonight. At Jennifer in Wisconsin.
7:30? 7?
Emails and jingles. Be there at 7. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
You can install TVs, put in bathrooms galore, put shelves at the front for TK's podcast store. Wear your hock or your stickers, hats and hoodies. You can change the whole joint, but it'll always be Chadwick's to me.
Great show, Arrow.
You can switch up the menu to your own delight. No veggie options per the socialite. A waitress named Connie asks, what'll it be? I'll have 7 lamb speedies. It'll always be Chadwick's.
Beautiful.
How brilliant is this?
That's
just
great.
Lovely.
That is good.
There's more to it, and we will be able to play more to it at the end. Yes?
No, we actually won't be able to.
Yeah. We can't.
Nice thought, though.
Joe Arrow, it's just great. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon for coming on with us today. I'd also like to say thank today's sponsors, Blue Apron, MeUndies, and Casper Mattresses. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Stronach just handed wine out to people.
Before mailbag, a quick happy birthday to one Chris Saliza.
Oh,
is it a special birthday for you today? 40,
man plus one, right?
41.
41.
Yeah, it's actually okay. Boogie Saliza, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what I go by. Changing it this year.
From Craig Stevenson in Theodore, Alabama. While you were watching the Hallmark Channel, did you happen to catch the one about the beautiful but driven career woman who doesn't have time for a relationship, who then meets a roguishly handsome man, hates him at first, then realizes she's in love with him, only to have a huge and avoidable misunderstanding with him and breaks up, then reconciles in the final act and lives happily ever after? I'm kidding. That's the plot of all of them. Yes, it is.
The Nigel story.
Peter Potke from Portland, Connecticut. Our main TV is often held hostage by she who must be obeyed. At the start of every movie, as soon as the first male character passed puberty and not a member of AARP makes an appearance, I innocently comment, I bet that is the one who's going to hook up with the best-looking chick in this movie. I immediately told to shut up and get out. It's always on. Hallmark Channel.
Portland, Connecticut. Lovely town, by the way. Very close to where I grew up.
Kevin Flood, Hartford, Connecticut. Uh-huh. Like you, I'm a former newspaper guy who must endure the saccharine background noise of the Hallmark Channel in his home. So perhaps you two perked up the other night when one of the movies had a newspaper reporter as a main character. No? Then you missed her finishing an article by typing the end. The same article ran on page one of her paper under the headline, How I Learned the Meaning of True Love. Later, she found herself on an elevator with the gruff editor of the much bigger newspaper where she had always wanted to work. Naturally, the editor gruffly acknowledged that he had read the article and offered her a job. As Lewis Black would say, I wanted to grab a pair of knitting needles and gouge out my eyes. The Hallmark Channel, I cannot tell you what a plague on mankind, specifically mankind, the Hallmark Channel is. It's just, whenever you walk into the middle of a movie, you will know exactly what is happening in this movie and when it's going to end and how it's going to be resolved. It either in or outside of the gazebo, it's always the same.
How is there a Hallmark Channel and not OPN?
I don't know. There should definitely be an OPN.
OPN is, that's a million-dollar idea.
Old People's Network.
How many columns did you invite?
The end.
Nobody's ever typed the end. Nobody's ever done that. Casey O'Brien in Culver City, California. Have an idea that I think will satiate your obviously unquenchable thirst for firing someone at Chad's. Each month at the restaurant, you will dress in a tuxedo and march in a grand processional style to stand on a podium at the front of the dining area. Nigel will then be walked in, hands tied, with a cowbell hanging around his neck.
Hey,
as you
minute.
Both stand in front
this
of the rapt
great.
Audience, you will ceremoniously Hire Nigel as an employee of the restaurant. Maury Povich will enter stage right and hand you an official scroll which will detail the many grievances and infractions Nigel has committed in the short time he's been employed at Chad's. In front of a captivated audience, you will read from the scroll in a theatrical fashion, "Fire Nigel," for all employees and diners to witnesses. Upon your word, Michael, Gary, and Saliza will run into the restaurant with a railroad tie and run Nigel out on a rail. For further effects, patrons of Chad's can throw stale vegetables, and Jason Lockenfora can stand behind you yelling, "You're fired, hon." You can tweak the exact details of the ceremony as you see fit.
That does seem like it has potential.
It's very descriptive.
My father write
that Michael in Chicago. This is a trivia question for the OPN versus the Millennial Network. Have you used a telephone book? Answer yes or no. I have used a telephone book. Chris, have you?
Yeah, in my youth.
I have.
Okay, Michael?
I have.
Okay. But I mean, follow up. What is the difference between a white page and a yellow page? Do you know the difference?
I do.
Commercial versus residential.
Yeah. Personal listings and residential listings. From Justin in Austin, Texas. Salutations. Yes, Austin is known as the live music capital of the world. But notice how this critical descriptor good is left out. How about hipster who just bought a guitar last weekend capital of the world? That's probably more appropriate. The wine capital of the world sounds awesome, right? But what if you learn all of the wine was fermented in toilets by a 12-year-old's in juvie? I think this is an apt analogy. Yes, I'm the one person who lives here who has nothing good to say about it. P.S. I will buy your Solstice for $1,000. No.
No.
Not even close.
No.
Stop. You're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always. Do wear white.
Yeah, we're going to go down to Rofo and have some of that fried chicken, hon. Yeah, but you can't get no Daddy Bo's there, man. Not in the state of Maryland. We can't get our beers with our chickens.
You came on the scene in a room with a view. The film world held great promises for you. We saw such glamour in your blonde hair, your frightening eyes, their penetrating stare, that dippy glare. This is my prayer for you. This is my prayer to you. This is my prayer for you, Julie. In 87, he moved to the States, a British lad on his way to being great, chasing big screen fate. Did you want more killing fields or action flicks with massive audience appeal? What would define your reel? Well, Hollywood gave you Warlock and other B-film leads and sinister supporting roles. Did you compromise your dream? Julian says, were you better than arachnophobia? Better than boxing hell in another TV adaptation of Stargate? Better than Vibes, did you want more than season 5 of 24? Better than the punchline you became? Or do you just feel fortunate that we even know your name? Inside us all is an evil man with gorgeous looks and a hypnotizing tan, doing the best he can. Our Father, please bless him and what he represents. The artist who gets sort of far and persistence, bless acceptance, bless the almost ones, bless the ones turned into jokes who still do not give up, like Julian Sands. We waited 5 years for the world to go bust, to explode into space and scatter as dust. I tried to hold on, wasn't sure who to trust. I didn't know about love yet. I didn't know about love yet. We waited 5 years, what a grueling routine. The assholes acted nice, sweethearts got me. Mom, shoot us outside. Said, run, play while you can. The old man grabbed our necks, shoved shovels in our hands. Said, we're perfectly safe, we'll dig halfway to Japan. Oh, man, I didn't know about love yet. I didn't know about love yet. I ran away straight to the record store. I charged in singing that song about hate and war. When who were you? All alone by the used vinyl bin.
I was trying to choose between Molly Hatchet and Ringo Starr when you stumbled in.
Stumbled in? You wore an eye patch. What could you see?
Even with lazy eye, I could tell you were 3 inches shorter than me.
The record store's record stop, just as I said out loud. World, please, don't end now. Don't end now. We waited 5 years for the world to shut off, to go still and dark with a whimper and waited 5 years and a day. My sis marked the calendar, said no freaking way. At 5 years and a week, Mom opened our hatch, took a peek. 5 years became 6 and 7. The old man paced the yard grumbling, same hell, same heaven. I grew at least a foot, hanging by the used vinyl bin, waiting for a certain someone to walk back in. I didn't know about love yet. I didn't know about love yet. I didn't know about love yet.